Hello, my name is Claire Keene. I'm a PhD student at Penn State University, and my talk is called The Legacy Matters, Cover Crop Management in Organic Rotational No-Till. So when the project that I'm a part of got started, we were thinking about ways to reduce tillage in organic crops. There are multiple ways to do this. You could rotate annual crops with perennial forages, such as alfalfa, so you're not tilling while you have that forage in the ground. You could also use minimum tillage implements like a chisel plow instead of a moldboard plow to reduce tillage intensity. Or you could no-till cash crops into roller crimper-killed cover crops. And this is the approach we focused on because we felt that in the mid-Atlantic, this has the advantage of being compatible with cash grain farmers who aren't necessarily interested in forage production and may not be feeding animals. And also, you do actually eliminate tillage events as opposed to minimum tillage implements when you still are spending that time and that fuel in the field to do tillage. So in the roller crimper system, you're rolling down a really big cash crop and then relying on that mulch for season-long or at least early season weed control until cash crop canopy closure. So our project went by the acronym ROSE for short. And again, I'd just like to emphasize that we're calling it cover crop-based organic rotational no-till. So it's not complete no-till. We used a three-year crop rotation. Our cash crops were corn, soybean, and wheat. And then we had a hairy vetch triticale cover crop in front of the corn and a cereal rye cover crop in front of the soybean. And on the diagram, you can see where we have little moldboard plow icons. And so we did use primary tillage after corn harvest, after soybean harvest, and after wheat harvest. But where we were eliminating tillage was between the hairy vetch and the corn and between the rye and the soybean. So out of a possible five primary tillage events, if we were doing tillage-based, we only had three. And then you're also eliminating all the seedbed prep steps of disking, tining, packing, and the early season weed control that you'd be doing in row crops such as tine weeding and rotary hoeing. So there is substantial labor saving by cutting out primary tillage in organic crops. So the unique features of ROSE is that we had three sites in the mid-Atlantic. We had collaborators doing this work in southern Delaware, in central Maryland, and also in central Pennsylvania. This gave us a nice gradient of growing seasons, and also of soil types. So in Delaware, we have very sandy, low organic matter soils, and up in Pennsylvania, heavier silt loam soils tending to be higher in organic matter, but again, a very short growing season. And again, a unique feature of ROSE is that because we did this as a systems experiment, we went back to the same plots each year. We also had a full entry design, so we had corn, soybean, and wheat in each of the 3 years of the experiment. We were really able to observe the legacy effects, so our implications of management, and also we were confined to dealing with the length of the growing season we had, much as a farmer would if they chose to adopt these practices. So the treatments that I'll be focusing on today were the timing of cover crop termination with the roller crimper. So with our hairy vetch triticale and rye cover crops, we had three different termination dates in the spring. I'll be calling them early, middle, and late. The early timing was based on cover crop phenology or maturity. We were targeting 40% flower for vetch, so after it had started flowering, not vegetative, before it started setting pods or fruit, and then anthesis or flowering for rye. And then our middle time was approximately 5 to 10 days after early, and late was, again, that long after middle. And again, to emphasize the constraint of the system is that we were manipulating the spring termination time of the cover crop, but we still had to get the following cover crop or wheat crop in the ground after the harvest of the corn and the soybeans. So the effect of delaying your cover crop termination until that late date is then you have less growing season available to the corn. Oh, and the roller crimper is pictured in the lower right-hand corner. It's essentially a steam roller with blades on it, so you roll down the cover crop mulch, but those blades are there to help crush the stems and kill the cover crop. So results I'll be able to cover today. Our cover crop biomass production, what we learned about optimal timing of these cover crops of control of the cover crops with the roller crimper. And also, the big surprise with this experiment was volunteer cover crops and what implications that has for the system as a whole. So our hairy vetch triticale cover crop, we were able to produce enough biomass to accomplish no-till corn in all site years of the experiment. So we did have 9 site years, 3 sites in 3 years. When I say enough, we're targeting 4,000 to 6,000 kilograms per hectare of dry biomass. You do need to hit that threshold because if you're below it, you can actually exacerbate weed problems. With the hairy vetch, it was a bit of a mixed bag in terms of results of biomass accumulation as termination was delayed. So we saw biomass increase as termination was delayed in 5 of 9 site years, which is what we expected. But we also saw that biomass remain flat in 3 of 9 site years. So we maximized that biomass by the early or middle termination timings. And we did actually see the biomass significantly reduced as we delayed termination in 1 site year. And so the site that I chose to put up is Maryland. So this was Stephen Mirsky's site in Beltsville. And on the x-axis are the different years of the experiment. And the different color purple bars are the early is the darkest, middle is the medium tone, and then late is that light bar. So at Maryland, you can see there was a different pattern of biomass and accumulation in each year. An increase in 2011, flat in 12, and a decrease in 13, which was due to inclement weather at planting. It was really wet, and so termination was delayed until that hairy vetch did have pods on it, and so we saw the vetch senescing, and we lost biomass. And what we learned about the relationship between biomass and control with hairy vetch is that we did improve control as termination was delayed. And so with hairy vetch, if you're trying to maximize biomass, you can go at early or late to do that, but you don't get the best control until you wait until late. For cereal rye, again, we also were able to produce enough biomass to accomplish no-till soybean. Again, at 9 of 9 site years, we hit that 4,000 kilogram per hectare mark and had almost 12,000 kilogram per hectare in a few site years. It was a little more straightforward in terms of biomass accumulation. With cereal rye, biomass increased as termination was delayed in 8 of 9 site years. The control story with rye is very interesting. So we tended to get good control at early, so that anthesis marker that Stephen Mirsky published a few years ago did hold true for control of the rye. So the rye laid down, we had good control, but after early termination, the rye was, it had enough energy in the root reserves to tiller, and those tillers were able to flower and set seed in the soybean. So we did a good job of controlling that mature rye that was there, but the tiller production led to volunteer issues. And with the late termination, we got good control of that mature rye that was there, and late termination did prevent new tillering, but in a couple site years, we did have that late terminated rye already have seed on it that was far enough along to become volunteers in subsequent years. So with our cereal rye, we tended to have the fewest volunteer problems in subsequent crops after the middle termination. And so to highlight some of those volunteer issues, we did have volunteer hairy vetch at all sites, and we had it both in the rye-soybean part of the rotation and also in wheat. So if you look at the crop rotation again of the project, if the hairy vetch triticale was not controlled before corn planting, it could set seed, and that seed could come up in the rye, and then if that volunteer vetch that came up in the rye was also not controlled, you had the potential, again, for volunteers in the wheat. And so we did see that. Volunteer vetch tended to be most abundant in early terminated plots, and that's because, most abundant in the early terminated rye-soybean plots because of the poor vetch kill at early termination in the previous year, but also because rye, at its early termination date, the vetch is still vegetative. So if there's volunteer vetch coming up in that early rye cover crop and we roll it when the rye is flowering, the vetch is still vegetative. And so the volunteer vetch in the early rye soybean is able to keep going and flower and set seed in the soybean. Whereas that didn't tend to happen as much at the late termination date of rye, because by then, if there was volunteer vetch there, it had flowers on it, it was a little more mature, and we tended to do a better job of killing it with the rye cover crop. And for the volunteer hairy vetch in wheat, it was particularly problematic at the Maryland site because they had very poor control of the vetch in 2011. And just as an example of how severe the problem could be, was that when wheat grain was harvested from the early termination legacy plots at Maryland, almost 30% of that grain harvested was volunteer hairy vetch seed. So only 70% of what was harvested was wheat. So definitely something to be aware of. And with volunteer rye was most problematic in wheat at Pennsylvania and Maryland. So again, if you reference the crop rotation wheel, that rye, if we had seed produced either as the result of tillers after early rolling, which you can see in that upper right-hand picture, that seed could come up in the wheat, or if the seed was already mature on the rye when we rolled it, which was the case in Pennsylvania after late rye termination, again, that would be there to come up in the wheat. And so just some of the data from that was that in Pennsylvania, we had 3 to 11% wheat grain contamination by volunteer rye in 2012, and 5 to 9% contamination in 2013. And so we thought about this project doing this as food grade wheat, being what a cash grain producer would typically be going for. And with a 5% contamination cutoff to be considered food grade, we would have had trouble hitting that with these treatments. And then sort of as a side note, the Delaware site was able to eliminate volunteer rye with false seed bedding prior to wheat. So they're farther south. They had a long enough growing season that they had a 2 to 3 week window between harvesting the soybean in the fall and planting the wheat. So they used that time to disc the ground and stimulate any rye seed that was there to germinate, disc it again, kill it, and then plant the wheat. But in Pennsylvania, we were really under the gun to get soybean off the field and wheat in the ground before frost. So for conclusions, we saw that rolled cover crop mulches are a viable option to reduce tillage in organic corn and soybean. We also saw that control of the cover crop matters as much as biomass production because legacies are important. So even if you have good mulch production and good weed suppression in your corn, if you didn't control that vetch, that really does have implications for the wheat, certainly, and potentially your soybean, too. And also, controlling volunteer cover crops, for example, the rye and the wheat at Delaware, is possible, but it may be at odds with our overall goal of reducing tillage in the system. So even though Delaware was able to eliminate volunteer rye in their wheat, they did rely on tillage to do that. So you bite into the fuel and labor savings that we're trying to get with reducing tillage. And so with that, I'd like to thank everyone involved in the project, who is quite a team, and I would be happy to take any questions that you have. Yes,
Antoine? So you're growing a mix of triticale and vetch. Is that because the triticale has a later maturity to try to line up?
Good question. So the question is, why did we choose to do hairy vetch and triticale?
And rye later. Both times?
Sure. So, yes. So, we chose to mix hairy vetch with triticale because triticale matures a bit later than rye. So, there's more synchrony there when we're terminating with the roller. And then we included a small grain, and it wasn't just pure hairy vetch, to increase overall biomass production and also increase the persistence of that mulch. So, by adding in the small grain, you're increasing the C to N ratio, and because we want almost season-long weed control, we felt that was important.
So why not triticale both times so that you can better control
in front of the soybean? Good question. I think before the soybean, we went with a rye cover crop because of the higher biomass production potential and really wanting to get a good mulch down ahead of our soybeans because, again, especially like in Pennsylvania, soybeans are pretty slow to canopy, and so more biomass on the ground was important.
What was your spacing?
So a treatment I didn't talk about is we did do soybean in 30 intros and 15 intros.
I think we actually need to move on, but...
Okay.